Welcome to New York Zen Center for Contemplative Care's podcast. This free podcast is made possible through your generosity. Please consider making a donation through our Ways to Give link on zencare.org.
So tonight we wanted to talk about living by vow. A wonderful friend and Dharma teacher named Shohaku Okumura Roshi wrote a book called this. And the difference between...
Can you see? Okay. Richard, can you turn the lights up a little bit?
So this idea of living by vow and not by reactivity. Actually really thinking about how we want to use our practice. How do we want to be in the world? How do we want to be in relationship? And how can we actually begin to untangle together? Because here we really believe that only together in relationship can we really change. But how do we bring these qualities to the forefront so that we can really look at each other, look at the people in our lives, with respect and dignity, including the people in the mirror in the morning. So tonight we have this chance to really think about what is our vow. We all probably know what it's like to live reactively. I don't think Chodo and I are the only ones in the room who are reactive in our lives. Dogen said, from this life throughout countless lives, we vow with all beings to hear the true Dharma. From this life throughout countless lives, we vow with all beings to hear the true Dharma, to allow ourselves to fully receive moment by moment, the Dharma, the teachings of the sidewalk, the teachings of great sorrow, of wherever we are and whoever we're with. Easy to say. Easy to say.
You're done? Is that it? So in a few minutes, we'll hear Koshin ring the bell, this big bell, 108 times. And then, as Koshin said, each of us will have an opportunity afterwards to ring the bell once ourselves to set our own intention for the, or our vow, our resolution for the next year, the year to come, starting in about 5.5 hours. The number 108 is considered sacred in many Eastern traditions. The Vedanta, according to Hindu tradition, recognizes 108 authentic doctrines that we find in the Upanishads, aiming to approach the truth and to destroy ignorance. In some Buddhist schools, there are believed to be 108 defilements, Just 108. That's not bad. I probably get through 108 in the first hour of waking up in the morning. If we look at what our defilements are, my thoughts, my speech, my actions, my unskillful behavior. So for me, many, many more than 108. 108 a day, a moment. On our mala beads, there's a reminder on these beads, and in many Buddhist traditions also, there are 108 of these little beads. Again, 108 in Zen, we call them, we talk about the 108 gates or barriers. Each gate being a barrier, and vice versa, each barrier as a gate. The most common explanation for the significance of the number 108 represents is of our afflictions, 108 afflictions, including the three poisons, greed, anger, and ignorance. During each of the three periods, the past, the present, and the future. So we're not looking at just greed, anger, and ignorance in this moment, but our past actions, and the present, and the future. Because for sure, we'll screw up in the future. So we have the three realms of desire, form, and formlessness. So here now we have a whole bunch of things to be looking at. Our greed, anger, and ignorance in the past, the present, and the future, in the realms of form, formlessness, desire. So we have a pretty hefty plate to be carrying around. So as we celebrate the passing of the old year, coming into the new, listening to the sound of the bell, it's important. When you hear each strike of the bell, take it on. Experience it as something not outside of you, but of you. Use it as a tool to begin to think about your intention when it's your turn to come up and strike the bell. There's a wonderful piece in a book by Thomas Merton from his Thoughts in Solitude. Does that happen now?
No.
No. Koshin's giving me the eyebrow and the finger. Those of you who know us know that we have these little signals. When he touches my knee, I'm talking too long. When he points, I've missed something. And when he looks at me like that, it's like, all right, that's enough. So here by Thomas Merton from Thoughts in Solitude. Bells are meant to remind us that God alone is good, that we belong to him, that we are not living for this world. They break in upon our cares in order to remind us that all things pass away and that our preoccupations are not that important. They speak to us of our freedom which responsibilities and transient cares make us forget. They are the voice of our alliance with the God of heaven. They tell us that we are his true temple. They call us to peace with him within ourselves. The bells say, business does not matter. And this, our message, has been for everyone, for those who came and for those who did not come. For our song is perfect. Many of you know that Thomas Merton was a great Zen Buddhist, had a great Zen mind. And I think we can hear this in this poem. We can take the word God out if it doesn't suit us. For us, in our community, there's no exclusion. God is present in each moment, in each of us, just as the embodiment of any of these bodhisattvas around the room. I love this one line, the sound of the bell. They break in upon our cares in order to remind us that all things pass away and that our preoccupations are not that important. These ideas that we have of who we are, who you are, the way things should be, why me? Why is this happening to me? It's actually not that important. The simple fact is that it is just as it is. And as Koshin mentioned, how do we live in this world? By vow. By vowing to be with things just as they are. Sometimes it sucks. It's not pretty. It's not what we wanted. And yet, it's what we got.
So we want you to consider how you're living. And how do you evaluate, as we're together during the turning of the time, how do you evaluate your practice? For me, I could never do this practice alone. Some people, I guess, can. But for me, I need my teacher. I need all of you. I need to show up and participate. To me, it's those moments when I participate that allows me to see something new, allows me to learn from each of you, learn from my own mind. So actually, starting in a couple weeks, we're going to have a 90-day practice period. We're inviting each of you to commit to sit and finding the way that you would like to do that. For me, it's really all about how do we help each other stay on the path? Because the path for me is at least a lifetime. There's no real arrival as I know it. But how do we arrive in each moment, and how do we allow each other to teach us to stay with it? Fall down, get up, fall down, get up, fall down, get up. So to think about, what is your motivation? Why practice? Dogen, the founder of our school in Japan, you know, his great question was, if we're all perfect and complete, lacking nothing, why practice? And he spent years trying to discover the response to that. To me, at this center, caregiving and meditation are not two. How we care for each other is a practice, and our practice is how we care for each other. Like considering who's in the back of that ambulance and what that's like for them. Bringing that into our practice.
So often people complain when we have our meditations evenings here or our half day sits that it's so noisy. You know, they come here to sit and be quiet. I don't want to be interrupted by noises. And that siren is a reminder of how precious this life is. We don't know who's in the back of that ambulance. We don't know if they'll make it to the hospital. So let's not see that as an interruption. Let's see that as a reminder. This moment, all we have.
So tonight we have this opportunity to make a vow. So we really want you to consider, what is the quality that you want to bring into your practice, into your life? In a moment, I'll start ringing the bell. And then it'll be a chance for us to really contemplate what that is for ourselves. What is it that, what kind of direction do I want to bring my life towards? So as Thich Nhat Hanh often says, you know, where it's like the North Star, you're not trying to arrive at the North Star. It's a direction. So whether it's balance, equanimity, compassion, salut, tenderness, transparency, whatever it is, but what is it for you that would help support you to be more you? And not just the habit you. So let's make some vows before.
Okay. New York Zen Center for Contemplative Care is currently offering our Commit to Sit program, a 90-day self-commitment to sit and practice every day. This program is generously sponsored by Gayam. See zencare.org for details.